of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This is Donna Mitchell from your Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
Look out! Ow!
The lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always magic in the air.
On Broadway.
Plenty of magic in the air on Saturday at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Cavaliers, a wire-to-wire winner, and you heard our next guest call it right here on WHBC, the radio voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. How are you, Toots?
I'm doing all right, and the lights are bright at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse as I settle into the Joe Tate perch to talk to you guys.
Boy, you sound about 100% better than you did the last time you were on this program. How'd you take care of yourself? How'd you come up off that mat?
I am so sick of drinking tea and honey and gallons of water and orange juice. They say fluids. So I'm giving it my best here, guys. Still not 100%, but you're right. I listened to it back, actually, when you guys put it up on X or Twitter, and I thought, my goodness, how did the listeners at WHBC put up with that?
Hey. You gutted it out, man. It was like that Michael Jordan flu game. You were magnificent.
Listen, man, if they can put up with us, they can put up with anything. How about that?
Well, I'm glad I'm sounding at least somewhat in better voice here today. And certainly Saturday, I think, guys, put us all in a good mood, didn't it?
Amen.
Boy, it did. Wire to wire. And they came out. And I heard that it's one thing to say it, Tim Alcorn, when Jared Allen is saying, well, we got to throw the first punch this year. Yeah, we got to be physical from the get-go. It's one thing to say that, but then to go out and actually back that up and do it from the get-go, that's what I was impressed with, the way they didn't wait to react. They did throw the first punch, if you will, on Saturday.
Well, literally and figuratively there, Kenny. I mean, the Cavs were out, and they came out, as you said, they were physical. They had a toughness to them, and I think with the additions of Max Strus and George Niang in the offseason, that edge, that mentality has carried through the season and now into the postseason. And I mean, not that they literally threw punches, but they didn't back down. I'll tell you what, Isaac Okoro and the aforementioned George Niang, they did some pushing and shoving, and I was thrilled to see it. Like, you don't want to see anything dirty, but you're not going to take anything either.
Tim, it was a good game, and I was telling Kenny, I had the host of Home and Garden Show, so it was one of those moments where, hey, I'm recording the game at home, please no spoilers, and wouldn't you know it, 5 minutes before I'm walking out the door at 3:30, somebody pulls me aside and says, hey, great game by the Cavaliers today. I'm like, gee, thanks. Now at least I know that they won. But it makes it a lot easier to watch because now you're not screaming at the television after every play. We're not screaming at Tim Alcorn on the way home listening on the radio. But it was really obvious that they turned the ball over way too much. Physicality-wise, they look good. So my question's got to be this. You're going to change something whether you win or lose every game. It's a convincing game. It's a game in which they led wire-to-wire, like Kenny said, a game you come away with a 14-point win. You know Orlando's going to change something. If you're Bickerstaff, what are you changing?
Well, I think the onus is more on Jamal Mosley to change things. If you win game one, and not that you're going to not tinker with anything or adjust anything, but for the most part, as you just said, JT, you got the 14-point win, so it's not like you need to overhaul things. And I don't think Jamal Mosley's going to overhaul things. I mean, 82 games got you to the playoffs, and you're not going to change things drastically. But number one, I think they'll try to get Harris on Donovan Mitchell more. Gary Harris is a guy that plays some outstanding defense. He was giving Donovan some trouble. So we'll see if Orlando can try to make that switch happen a little more often. I think they are going to adjust their defense if Evan Mobley knocks down a couple of more threes. That was a great sign early in the ball game. But I think for the most part, Orlando looks at this and goes, listen, we held Cleveland at 97 points We couldn't hit a three ball to save our life. Now, that certainly wasn't their strength during the regular season, but they could knock down a few more, and they were atrocious at the free throw line. So I think they come into game two saying, okay, we learned some lessons. We found out what playoff basketball is all about. You know, a tinker here, a tinker there, but I think they can live with the type of game it was on Saturday afternoon. Now, JT, I do have a question for you on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
You couldn't listen to the game?
No, I was
listening at the Home and Garden.
No, there was no radio there. We can't listen when it's on the app. So, I mean, I was out of luck, and I didn't want any spoilers. So, I mean, it was like nonstop from 1 o'clock until 3:30. So I just figured I would just record everything. I knew Brian would have the highlights, so I'd be able to listen to them here.
Right, and guess what, though, Tim? The good thing about that is if you need a new gutter system, JT's got a guy for you.
Are you kidding me? What do you need done, Tim?
I may follow up on that, guys. I love to support radio advertisers. You know my background. So
you know, yes.
I may follow up with you.
That's funny, Kenny, because you remember a couple of years ago we were having this show and we had John Michael on, and what was it? It was the off season. He says, guys, yep, thanks for having me. It gets me out of doing my honey-do list.
That's exactly right. So I'm hoping I don't have a honey-do list for several more
That's
weeks.
That's right.
Tim Alcorn, our guest, radio voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. You'll hear the game tonight, pregame 6:30, 7 o'clock tip-off, game two, Cavs Magic. Cleveland up one game to none. Let's go to Donovan Mitchell, because one of the things I said before the game, Timmy, was based on his lack of performance last year and getting knocked out of the first round for the second year in a row, right? He needed to step his game up and lead the way for this team, and I thought he did that both with his play, his toughness, and his vocal leadership, if you will, in huddles and elsewhere. Give me your thoughts on whether or not you thought he looked like the explosive Donovan Mitchell from the first half of the season.
I think he did. Kenny, he said before the playoffs started, he feels like he's 100%. He feels he's ready to go, and I think he put that on display on Saturday afternoon. And I know when I was with you guys a week or so ago, I mentioned Donovan, if anybody, was really angry. I'll put it that way. You know what I said a week ago. But
yeah,
he really was upset about that playoff loss to the New York Knicks. And so I think he came out, had a chip on his shoulder. I've got something to prove. I want to put the Utah Jazz Donovan Mitchell on display as far as postseason basketball. And I think he did that. And I think the Cavs are going to need that, not only the rest of this season, this series, but as far as they go in postseason basketball.
I loved seeing him explode to the hoop. I loved his range. I loved his toughness on defense. I didn't love the four turnovers. But, you know, that's an area, you know, between Strus, Mitchell, and Garland, 14 turnovers, Timmy. That, you know, for guys that are handling the basketball that much, that can't happen against a Boston, a New York Knicks, a Philadelphia. You're going to lose that game. Luckily, you were playing the Magic. Their inexperience, I think, showed up. What can they do to limit the turnovers? Is it just focusness, an old Jim Tomey term, and valuing the basketball better? Or what can they do, do you think?
No, I think you're dead on accurate. You have to take care of the basketball. Now, give Orlando credit. I mentioned a stat during the broadcast on Saturday. They were in the top three or four in the league as far as deflections, as far as steals. I mean, they're a gritty defensive team. They are going to turn you over. But, yeah, your point is very accurate, Kenny. You can't turn it over 14 times in playoff basketball. Listen, Saturday was not a perfect game for the Cavaliers. They got the win. That's the most important thing. But sure, there were things to work on, and turnovers being one of them. That was a blemish as far as the game on Saturday was concerned. And again, outside shooting, I'm sure they got back in the gym and put some up from long range. But this is an Orlando team that will defend. We knew that going in, and so they had that on display. By the way, I need to forewarn you guys, 216 sticks is about to do their dress rehearsal, so this could get a little loud here.
All right, my guys. I know those guys very well. I've hung out with those guys. Alex Simon from Canton, Ohio. Julian Goldthwait in charge of the 216 Sticks. That's some great entertainment. We love it when they perform, and usually we get the opportunity to hang out with them.
Well, but you're going to get their dress rehearsal here in a few seconds. But
nice.
Carry on, guys.
Perfect,
on.
Perfect. Hey, you know, Tim, when we talk about the playoffs, one thing that comes to mind is experience. Doesn't get more experience player-wise for the Cavaliers than Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson. You think we get to see them tonight?
I think that's a great question. I think whether it's tonight or at some point later in the series, yeah, I do think they will get off JB's bench, guys. Obviously, Marcus Morris was brought here late in the season for a reason, and I was going through his playoff stats before Saturday's game, and he has stepped up in postseason basketball. So, again, I know we talked about this last week. The first three off the bench, no mistake, going to be Caris LeVert, George Niang, Isaac Okoro. After that, it's going to depend on situations. It's going to depend on matchups. But I don't think those guys are just going to sit the pine. They're here for a reason, and I think they'll be valuable when they do come in.
Tim, as I watched the game and listened to some of it, it was a combination of both, right? I could tell that the crowd was really into it. How was it compared to last year as far as crowd noise and the crowd affecting the game, especially based on them losing 4-1 last year?
Yeah, that's a great point, Kenny. Part of getting off to a good start is getting this roaring Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse crowd behind you. And looking back to last year, yeah, you bring up a great point that, you know, the Knicks kind of came out in game one and took control of the game. And so the folks here never really had a chance to get into it, where the Cavs on Saturday afternoon, they blitzed Orlando early, and this place was rocking. And so, yeah, you get that crowd into it, and you guys have been around enough Cavs playoff games here at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse that even before that, you know, Gund Arena, it roars. And so that was huge on Saturday. This crowd was really into it.
You know, it's amazing, too. The last couple of weeks, think about what's gone on in Cleveland. Cavaliers playing well in the playoffs again. You had the Final Four in the women's NCAA tournament. You had the Eclipse and the Guardians playing lights out. Timmy, what's it like on the day? Like, we don't get too many of them, a double winner, Cavaliers and Guardians. But what was it? Was it more electric now to the fact that you guys won during the afternoon, and it led right into the Guardians game?
Yeah. I mean, I think, listen, Cleveland is an awesome sports town. I mean, you guys know that. Mm-hmm. When the Guardians are winning, or the Cavs or the Browns or whoever it may be, CSU basketball, when this town has a winner, our fans are passionate, but they're also knowledgeable. I love that they jumped all over Mo Wagner early in the game. Like, okay, that's our villain now. These fans here in Cleveland, they get into it. They support the team. And whether it's basketball, baseball, football, it doesn't matter. It's a passionate fan base. And you're right. When two or three of them have them going all at the same time, it's a fun city to be in.
Tim, we understand the differences in regular season basketball versus playoffs, and we know there's more intensity and everything else. You think the refs let these guys get away with a little bit more? I mean, that shot that Wagner had on, what was it, Evan Mobley before Isaac Okoro came up, and thank goodness he stood up for his teammate, because that's one of the things we thought this team was lacking as well.
Yeah, I think it's a minor understatement, JT. I mean, there is banging going on out there. There's shoving. There's pushing. I mean, at times it looks like MMA. And listen, not just the Cavs Magic game on Saturday. If you've watched any of the first round or even going back to the play-in, the officials look at things differently. They call it differently. It's like, okay, guys, put your big boy pants on. This is playoff basketball. And unless there's blood or injury, it seems as though they are letting it go. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a lesson that the Cavs learned last year. Even on Saturday, a huge difference from last year. I know Kenny asked about the crowd, but a big difference from last year, you know, the Knicks were knocking the Cavs around, and the Cavs would look at the officials. And the officials were like, hey, don't look at us. Mm. Whereas Saturday, when guys were getting knocked around, the Cavs would just run to the other end of the floor. So, again, that's learning what playoff basketball is all about.
Good, as long as they keep it, you know, the same. Because if they start off that way, they've got to rep the entire game the same way. Because if not, these guys start second-guessing maybe instead of, hey, it's a little bit more physical than we're used to. And now maybe it's, hey, wait a minute, you didn't call that a foul in the first quarter. Now it's a foul in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think in playoff basketball, JT, anything goes.
Good, huh?
And it's pretty consistent throughout the game. I mean, seriously, unless you are knocked down or it is absolutely blatant or flagrant, they're going to let you play through it. And to be honest with you, to your point, as long as players get consistency, and coaches mm-hmm. will tell you the same thing, call it consistently. If you're going to knock somebody around in the first quarter, okay, don't call it in the third or fourth quarter then, and we can live with that. So I think to the officials' credit, they were consistent in saying, unless there's a blood or a foul or blood or an injury, we're not calling anything.
Happy to have with us the radio voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. He's live from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. As you can hear, the 216 sticks getting ready to entertain and practice their routine for tonight's game when they get called upon to entertain 18,000-plus at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Timmy, I also thought JB had a good game because we've talked a lot about him throughout the year, wondering about his rotations and things of that nature. I loved the fact that after the Cavaliers made five threes to start the game, Orlando took their defense from being packed in the paint to spreading it out, and then instead of jacking up triple after triple, Timmy, they went inside to Allen and Mobley and dominated in the paint. I thought that was a great decision by JB.
Absolutely. And JB has always said, we are going to be an inside-out offensive basketball team. Not that they don't believe in the analytics of the three ball and getting three balls up, but he wants that ball to, as he says, touch the paint, meaning get it in and then flash it back out, spray it back out. And so, to your point, then when the threes weren't falling, when they got it into the paint, they just took advantage of that with the matchups with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. So, yeah, I thought JB coached a heck of a game on Saturday. I agree.
Yeah, and hopefully, like you said, it's up to Jamal Mosley to make some changes, but hopefully they can take a look at the things that didn't go right or weren't executed properly and better those. What did you think of the bench play, Timmy? Because they were 4 of 19 from the field shooting the basketball for 14 points.
Interesting note, for George Niang, that's the first time that he has not hit a three ball in playoff basketball when shooting two or more. So I expect George to get back on track tonight. But guys, I thought the bench was productive. I won't say they played a great game. They certainly did what they want or what JB wanted them to do on the defensive end of the floor. I thought Isaac was his normal outstanding self defensively. Garris was a little shaky, but listen, he's got playoff experience. He'll bounce back. And I thought Niang, at the defensive end, I thought he gave Bancaro all he could handle. And certainly Orlando was trying to force that switch. If you heard me call the game or if you watched it on the tape like JT did, you saw that Orlando was constantly trying to create Bancaro on Niang. And I thought George stuck with him pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he did a decent job getting physical with him, forcing some uncomfortable shots, which is all you can ask for, right, with their leading scorer. Who do you expect maybe to step up for the Magic tonight besides Bancaro?
Well, I certainly think Bancaro's going to try to cut down those turnovers, a nine-turnover game. And, again, maybe some playoff jitters there. But I think guys like Suggs, should step up their game. Jonathan Isaac, I think, will have a better game tonight. Listen, we've seen this historically in NBA playoffs. The team that gets beat in game one, realizing not that there's a lot of pressure on this game, but you don't want to put yourself in an 0-2 hole. They'll come back, or I should say respond pretty well. So, but I think those guys will step up their game. I think tonight will be a tighter game than game one was.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think this one will be determined in the fourth quarter, and that's where hopefully the Cavaliers, with the home court advantage, the experience, will be able to find a way to win this one, take a 2-0 lead. The rest factor, Timmy, I mentioned this to JT earlier. Yeah, playing a 1 o'clock game means they think that's going to be the least rated game, right, on the networks, but that allows you the extra 6 hours right before game two and then 2 days off in between game two and game three. How huge do you think that will be for some of the walking wounded from Donovan Mitchell on down for the Cavaliers?
I think that's huge, Kenny. I think it's a point that maybe is flying under the radar, but the Cavs have had the opportunity to rest some guys, not only the week between the regular season finale on Sunday and the game on Saturday, but to your point, in essence, a couple of days off between Saturday and tonight, even though it was truly the one day on Sunday. But as you just alluded to, the time difference is huge. And then the 2 days between now and Thursday when game three will unfold down in Orlando. So for guys like Donovan Mitchell, especially Donovan, but even guys that have been logging heavy minutes, I think that's a big factor. I think that's a great point.
Such a weird season for the Cavaliers. It seemed like, Tim, to me, and I was telling Kenny this last week, it was almost like a baseball schedule in that this team was playing back-to-backers or three or four times. It seemed like every night the Cavaliers were playing. Sometimes rest comes back to haunt you because it's a little bit too much rest. And in that, you don't know whether or not you're staying in your regular routine, and maybe there was too much rest. Maybe that's one of the reasons they only shot 27% from three. I don't know, but hopefully they don't turn the ball over as much. They shoot the ball better. And is there any chance, and I don't think so because I haven't seen the injury report yet, I'm assuming Dean Wade is out tonight?
Yes. Yeah, it's the same three that were out on Saturday, okay. Dean Wade, Craig Porter Jr., and then, of course, Ty Jerome. But, yeah, those guys are not going to go tonight.
So as you prepare for this game number two tonight at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and again, tip off everybody right here on News Talk 1480 WHBC, what will you be watching for early to give you an indication of how this one might go?
I'll be watching for how Orlando comes out. Cavaliers deliver that first shot on Saturday, not only as far as how the game ended up, but how the game started. Let's see how Orlando comes out tonight. I think they're going to want to respond and not let the crowd get into this early, as we talked about earlier in the conversation here, guys, that they're going to want to come out with a response to what the Cavaliers did on Saturday. So I would look for Orlando to try to get off to a good start and at least keep this thing within striking distance as you get to the end of the first quarter so they don't feel as though they're fighting uphill throughout the ball game. They just don't have the offensive capability to do that. In fact, they want to put you behind so that you have to fight uphill against their defense. So I think Orlando's start tonight is going to be critical.
Tim, what's your schedule now like then? Because if game three is in Orlando on Thursday, when do you guys ship out?
Yeah, we'll fly out on Wednesday.
Okay.
Cavaliers will get together tomorrow and probably have a film, maybe even a light practice, and then fly down Wednesday and get ready for game three on Thursday night. You know, you mentioned that baseball type of schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, now I know how Hammy and Rosie feel. We get right to go down to Orlando, spend a few days down there. It's like a, you know, it's like a baseball series where you just get to hang around a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting from that standpoint, right? You're playing the same team maybe seven times in a matter of 14 days or whatever it is, and both get a feel for each other. But you as a broadcaster, it makes it easier for you because you're seeing the same guys night in and night out from both teams, right?
Hey, the difference is this too, though, Ken. I got to interrupt here real quick. I'd much rather be at the Kia Center than Tropicana Field.
Now, that's a good point. That is very, very true. So, listen, I think for the Cavaliers, you want to go down there up 2-0. You definitely want to get this one, maintain home court advantage, and really put Orlando on their heels where a young basketball team will feel like Thursday night is an absolute must win. That's a lot of pressure to put on them.
Timmy, we always appreciate the time. Great job all season long. Continued great calls in the postseason, which hopefully will go for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, dare I say.
There's nothing I need to work in tonight?
No, that's it. You're good to go, man.
We're
hopefully now, if it's necessary, we'll come down for game five and do the pregame show from there. But I'm hoping game five won't be necessary.
Well, we'll see. I'd be stunned if the Cavaliers sweep this series. But, hey, I'm with you. If we can sweep it, that's great. But if not, there'd be nothing like having the best pick-and-roll combo in Canton make their way to the field house for game five a week from tomorrow.
Awesome.
Sounds great. Timmy, have a great call tonight. We'll be listening. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys.